Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am honored and privileged to have with me today someone I've known for a long time. He's a city councilor. He keeps the most beautiful grounds, and we'll talk a little bit about that down there in Lenox. I won't hold that against him. But he's vice president of the city council. He's not just a city councilor. His name is Earl Persepp, comes from a wonderful family. Local family, grew up here in the hood. Earl, good morning, and thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than the last time you saw me, but I'm still here. how would you describe the budget year? Tumultuous, confrontational, or successful?
Successful. Successful.
Yeah.
You know, every year, just because one issue or two issues come up doesn't mean it wasn't successful.
Right.
I mean, I think this year was probably the best year since I've been on the council.
Oh, good. Yeah.
For budgets.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just hope that not you, this isn't directed at any one person, but previous councils, there's been these people with waving the banner, cut taxes, cut. Well, nobody wants to pay taxes. But before you go bug crazy, let's look at what we're getting for our taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm 77 with healthcare issues. I know I got a fire department that'll have somebody here in 6 minutes.
Yeah. Yep.
And the police department. And now, oh, and I'm sure you've heard about the trash.
Yeah.
I have. But people have to understand, we just can't afford the way we always did it.
No, everything changes. We don't do a lot of things. We would do this interview in person on the radio in the morning time. And you know, a lot of things change over time. And we need to adjust as time changes. People won't realize the city bills are also going up. So the things we pay for are also going up. Our electric bills are going up. Our heating bills are going up. Everything is going up everywhere, and that the city is not excluded from those inflation prices. So we need to find ways to be creative to save money. And trash has always been an issue where I always thought we wasted a lot of money on unlimited trash. It was a very archaic system. I couldn't find another community that did unlimited trash the way we do. There's not one in the Commonwealth that I could find.
No.
Everyone does some sort of either, you know, work like the towns around us, you have to hire somebody to come get your trash, or you have to bring it to a transfer station. And that's throughout New England now. So we were one of the last people to change, like always. You know, change is always tough for a lot of people. But we really need to get rid of that archaic trash system that was costing taxpayers a fortune. And it wasn't equitable. Like if I throw out one trash bag, why should I pay the same that someone that throws out 60 trash bags?
Right. Right. Or the sofa.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I would drive around and there'd be like, you know, I was a little bit jealous. Some people were throwing away better recliners than I have. I drove by, showed my wife that. She didn't buy into it, but
and we were subsidizing those big things, even though people were paying a sticker. We're still subsidizing the cost of that. And why should we be doing that? Why is me as a taxpayer subsidizing you throwing out your couch or your chair or whatever else you're throwing out?
And I will tell you too, Casella is Earl, I can't say enough good things about them. Since they've taken over the route. I mean, I can remember prior trash removal people. Mm-hmm. If they dropped something in the road, they left it.
I've gotten less complaints since Casella's taken over. We're always going to get complaints. I mean, these are human beings. They make mistakes. Things happen. People who work always don't have the best intentions, or, you know, someone's having a bad day and they throw the recycling in the trash because they're not paying attention, or they do it on purpose. You know, those things are always going to happen no matter what. But I would say the overall performance of Casella since they've taken over the contract has been phenomenal, really.
I you got a gold star from me for that. I've seen them, you know, in the whole bottom of the bag at breakout, they stop. Mm-hmm. The driver gets out, they shovel it up, they throw it in the thing. I can't say enough good things about them. So I'm glad that they're still going to be competing or the contractor. Mm-hmm. And I've been all over and, you know, this people are making such a big deal about toters. I can't think of many places where I've been that people didn't love the toters.
Yeah. I think anybody, you know, first of all, we have to use them. We have to experience them. It's hard to envision them since really nobody around us has that sort of system, and no one around us has to, they have to pay for their toters to be picked up, or they have to bring that stuff. So it's new for our area, the way we're doing it. But it's not new for New England or United States in general. Most right. communities have some sort of toter program, pay as you throw program, which, you know, even though we put the petition in, I was never a fan of that. I wanted just to see all the options and see really what are we doing here? See all the options. What's the best option? I think the toters are the best option. People are always going to disagree on sizes and how many, and it's not a perfect, there's no perfect system for everybody.
No,
there isn't. It's just, that's the facts. It's always going to be that way. People will have complaints. People will love it. It's, we have to make the best choice, what we think is for the majority of the people.
Yeah.
And we're not new to this. They have toters where it snows. They have toters where there's one ways. They have toters that have hills. They have toters where there's lots more parking on streets than we have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people need to be realistic and understand that we are probably one of the last communities to do this. They work out the kinks, and nothing unique about Pittsfield when it comes to toter programs is going to give these guys a hiccup at Casella.
I have to tell you, I watched, cause you know, I don't have a life. So I watch most of these hearings and all kinds of stuff. I was totally impressed with the people that represented Casella. Mm-hmm. Like they have thought about everything. You know,
I mean, they've done this many times. We're not.
Yeah, this isn't our first rodeo. Yeah,
it's not like it's not. You know, I think people can really, if we were the first community to pull this off and do this, yeah, then those complaints. But we're one of the last ones. They've done this all over the New England, all over the United States. They're not a small company. They're not. You know, they've done this. They know problems. They more rural areas than us, bigger cities than us. They do it all, and they've experienced it all.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say this, and what really blew me away, and, of course, there are people who don't watch or read the Eagle. Probably you're surprised at that. I know I am. But I must have gotten 6 to 8 text calls, whatever, about, well, what am I going to do with my old garbage can? Well, they thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
They thought of it. And when I told people that, they went, oh, you're kidding. I said, no, they're going to announce. They're going to come and pick them all up. Oh.
They're going to figure out some sort of program to pick them up, what day, when they can do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
We thought about that kind of. But the good thing about, we were lucky enough where we tried this in 2018, I believe it was.
Right, yeah, so I remember.
And we were lucky enough to get all those concerns and questions out in the open then. So when we started this process, we were able to say, well, these were the questions last time. Let's answer all these. And I'm sure there'll be more. And so we were able to have a good game plan there.
I'll share this with you. We'll move on. I remember getting a call from someone, I'll tell you, you know the person, I'll tell you off air, screaming at me about how stupid was I to not know how many dead-end streets that we have. And the toter trucks can't go up dead-end streets.
Oh, I don't, I'll join your train. I don't know how many dead-end streets there are, but there's dead-end streets all over New England. New England was all built around the same time. They all had the same scenarios.
Yeah. Well, he made me out as the village idiot, and you know, that's good. I said, I'm sure they can handle it. Yeah, well, you're wrong. I know they can't handle it. Well, good. And you have a degree in garbology or what? I mean, you know. But no, Thank you. And thanks to all the counselors, and thanks to the Casella. They put together a great plan. You guys went, and this is a compliment. It might not come across nitpicking, but you know what? That's what the public saw. That's what the public wanted. And I would say the majority of the people are going to live with it.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to it. There's going to be hiccups. I'm not naive to know there'll be issues and
right.
And things that will happen, and we'll have to figure those things out. But there's issues now that we still have to figure out. There's, you know, that same garbage truck that picks up those one ways is going down them now. The only difference, it has an arm on it and it picks the trash up for us. It's not much different. And for those people who have a pickup in their garage or outside their garage, older people and handicapped people, yeah. That will continue on, and that's not going to change any. Yeah, we have, I think, one of the better programs.
I do too.
We're going to have one of the better programs. We're going to have technology behind it. We'll have the same old, you know, you'll be able to report via an app. But you'll also be able to make a phone call too, just like you have in the past. So we're only adding ways to help and deal with the issues that may arise.
And I had a person tell me that they called, and within 10 minutes, there was the recycled truck had missed them. The recycled truck was back picking it up.
Yeah, I mean, accidents happen, mistakes happen. Those guys are on the back of a truck during, like, this week's going to be 95 degrees outside.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give people a break. Everyone's not perfect. Everyone makes mistakes on their job, and Casella's good about correcting those mistakes.
And you know, Earl, what you bring to the, if I may, and please take this as a compliment, what I believe you bring to the table or the bench or whatever the heck you call it up there is you're running a mega $1 million operation. And you understand that everybody and everything isn't going to come out just the way you wanted it to.
But of course, if you don't understand that, you're behind the eight ball already. You got to, if you think that everything can be perfect and everything can be organized and planned out ahead of time, you're already behind the eight ball, because when something goes wrong, you're not prepared. If you're preparing for and you're thinking about how things can go wrong, what will go wrong, it helps you mitigate some of those issues.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it prepares you when one arises that you're not ready for. So if you're not thinking about, you know, what could go wrong here and how can we fix those ahead of time, you're going to set yourself up for failure. And so I think,
and I think you need to understand that, as you're looking in the mirror, before you criticize the guy that, as you said, will be working his tail off, mm-hmm. 90 degree weather, and you're in your air conditioning house shaving, remember, no one is perfect.
And the issues will get addressed. If you know, I understand people don't want to stop their day to make a phone call about a missed pickup or anything like that. But, you know, some things happen, make the phone call. It will get addressed pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have had very, very, very few, a lot more fewer ones than I had before. Yeah. So I know things are getting addressed. I know people, when they do call, they're getting their issues taken care of.
So the budget, I would be remiss with the council and the school committee, mm-hmm. and the school budget. What's your, I guess it worked out to be amenable.
Yeah, I think, you know, the mayor wasn't happy about some of my comments at the last meeting, basically around that the school department didn't take a cut because he had cut some from their budget. And it kind of was indicated like my cut was a retaliation cut from their unprofessional comments, in my opinion. That wasn't the case. And the way I explained it at the meeting was, you know, I struggled with my yes vote. You know, when the two motions to cut them for higher rates failed at that point, I didn't see how to move forward with cutting anything as we were voting for the budget. So when we were voting, preliminary voting for their budget, I had struggled and I had paused and I had thought about it. And it didn't make sense to vote no down the budget because we didn't give them anything to say no about. So I was a yes vote. And I've always been a yes vote on the school budget, oddly enough. And people forget those votes and those that advocacy I had for the schools. And after the comments came up, I'm just like, I cannot believe this. I've been on councils where those that criticism they gave should have happened and could have happened. Not this council. This council was very, very cordial. They asked questions. They were involved. No one shamed anybody. No one talked down to anybody.
Yeah.
We felt like we were doing our job. And I thought there should have been a cut. And I had seen some spaces where it was cut. And I had been on a council before where we had made a cut from the school department and they wanted to know where we thought they should cut. And now this time they don't want to know. So I struggled with that and I struggled with those comments. And I thought to myself, well, there should have been a cut because there was room. There was room to cut the $82 million. $82 million, it's $20 more million than 2020. And in my opinion, and it's my opinion alone, I still think we have the same failures that we had before. So I don't know where the $20 million is held. So I felt there should have been a cut. I felt other departments were not adding jobs. Other departments were cutting and or stable. So I felt something had to be done. And I thought, you know, I was just going to keep it the way it was. And after the comments, it made me think more and more about our whole procedure and how some of us had talked and thought there should have been some cuts and maybe some new raises and those things shouldn't have happened. So I made the suggestion. I made the argument. And other counselors followed along and they felt the same way because we all hear the same things. And it's from people in that department. And I told the superintendent, I said, you're displaying it in one light and we hear another light. So there's a miscommunication of what goes on at the Mercer building, what goes on at the top. And, you know, the people that should understand that the most are the people within the school department. So, you know, I hope there's some work done this year to hopefully help that communication. So people in the school department understand what the administration does and the things they need to do. But yeah, 200,000, they didn't cut a position because of that 200,000. They basically found it within other line items. I find that interesting that, you know, the big scare was, and everyone showed up and they scared like as people were going to, lose jobs. And then all of a sudden they took it out of line items. So there was some room for line items to be cut. And just like we always thought, yeah. I don't know why in the past unfilled positions, those salaries didn't get turned back to the taxpayer back in free cash and how they just spent as they thought should happen was in within the school department. But you know, an unfilled salary position, we approved that. We approved money for that. And I think the school departments and all departments really need to turn back money back to the taxpayer when it's time, when it's not being used for what it was budgeted for. It should be turned back for free cash because as we see this year, we're using $2.5 million for relief on the tax rate of free cash. That dwindles our free cash down. And we should be doing everything in our power to build it back up so we can use it again if necessary, yeah. Like a year like this. And so I feel like we really need to hold departments accountable, especially those big departments. An $82 million department is a big department. It's the biggest. And we should be watching every dime that comes out of it and paying attention.
Well, I don't I don't disagree. The budgets need to be, but I will also say I'm really angry at the government. They gave this money and now it's drying up in January because it's an election year. I'm sorry. We're still recovering from COVID. Don't forget, the Polish princess was a teacher for over 40 years. There's still kiddos that are still recovering. I don't want to take your time, but I did a week of just department head, special ed, special needs kids. Earl, probably one of the best weeks I've ever done with response from the public that they just didn't know how many special ed kids all we have, how many kids are in these various programs. A lot of it was COVID driven. And yet the government pulls the plug.
I'm emotional about that. And that's where that jump from 2020 to now. And we in Pittsfield, in most communities cut all the positions.
Yeah.
They didn't fund any of the positions. We funded, I think, almost half of those positions.
Yes. Yes, you did.
And that's why I'm always weary about taking grant funding positions through grants. And that's another thing the school department wanted to do this year. They wanted to fund a half a superintendent or a dean of some sort of administration job that paid a pretty good amount, that they wanted to fund half of that with a grant. I wasn't a big fan of that, because what happens next year, the year after, when the grant's not there, then we're expected to fund that. And, you know, I was getting sworn in this year as tax bills hit everybody's mailbox and emails. And it was a shock. Everybody was in sticker shock, including myself. So we need to do our best to help students and make sure they can grow and they get the education we want. But we have to be wary of taking these grant positions, because that puts the taxpayer on the hook.
You've been on a council long enough. I've been around a lot longer than you. But I will tell you, and people, please take this for what it's worth. The government will give you what appears to be a nice basket of money, but there's more strings and more attached to how you can actually use that money, spend that money, account for spending that money. And boy, you don't want to misspend it.
People don't understand that either.
Peanut butter.
Well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this project? Well, that's what the grant is paying for. And like, why aren't they using it for that? But we're not allowed to use it for that. So people, you know.
Yes. I wanted to get that out for the public, because you know and I know. But it's so important. And I do applaud you for funding those other positions that the government pulled the plug on, because from what I'm hearing, they're desperately and sorely needed.
Yes. And, we the council was very clear that we didn't want to see cuts happen with, faculty that works with students that are in buildings. This is a council that's very supportive of the people that work in the buildings and do the work. And if we thought those were underfunded, or we thought, this council would have stepped up to the plate, and just because we took a chop and we wanted the school department to, find their pencils, look into little things a little closer, doesn't mean we don't support teachers and what they do in the classroom. The council is very supportive, and we are very clear where we wanted to see that cut from. And we actually seems like we got what we were asking for, is them, to look at other ways besides staff in the buildings to cut this $200,000. And so I think it was a successful budget year, even with that little hiccup. One of the school committee members at their meeting the other night made a suggestion about a joint council school committee subcommittee on education before the budgets and things like that. I thought that was a great suggestion. I emailed Dr. Cameron and, suggested maybe we look further into that. And he was going to do that because it was brought up that Worcester does that. So hopefully, if at the very least, this has spurred that little subcommittee to come together and with some counselors on it and some school committee members on it, and maybe they can shine some light on some things maybe we don't understand or we don't know, and maybe we can shine some light onto them to think about more of, you know, they don't get the phone calls and the and all the things about the tax bill when those come out, or when we set the tax rate, you know, they don't get those phone calls as an elected official. So, you know, those are always tough of, you know, people calling you up and telling you that, you know, it's taxes or medication or it's taxes or groceries, and, you know, and so they don't have to hear those phone calls or see those emails. So it's understandable. Maybe they don't understand the severity that we do at times. And maybe we don't understand the severity that they have at times to make sure our children are educated and to make sure the students are getting all the services they require. So I think a joint meeting, and I think it was William Garrity who suggested that. I think that's a good start, you know, after this, like I said, after this little hiccup, it's maybe we move forward to make this situation better than it was before. So I'm excited about that. And hopefully we pull it together.
We're going to take a break, and just to let everybody know, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Committee, School Department, Peter Marchetti in the Mayor's Office, Peter White in the City Council, and or the person riding their motorized bicycle on a damn sidewalk. I'm sorry. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned
for more Morning Drive here on WTBR. FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita brilliantcenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. This guy you see here, the good-looking guy, that's Earl Persip. He is vice president of the city council, even though I did counsel him. Duh. what are you doing? But he still took the job. We're here today. We were talking about the budget process, but we have a beautiful summer coming up. Caution. It's going to get very hot. Please, if you see elderly people or animals, please think about animals and the elderly, or call public health, call the police, call the fire. Let people know that there may be people in distress, because people can get very, very, very ill and die from heat exposure. So what do you think the biggest challenges now for the city are going to be, if you had a look at it? I like what you said about rebuilding the rainy day fund. I applaud the governor, and I applaud the former governor and the governor, the current governor, and the legislature for having a great rainy day fund.
I mean, I think Pittsfield's biggest concerns going forward is going to be, you know, implementing the trash program. And then after that, like, that's a kind of a short-term issue. And then after that, it's really managing the cost of inflation and how we are going to move forward in these next few years with things costing so much more, and understanding that the taxpayer is footing the bill, and understanding that it's important that we do what we can to save money and consolidate things, and, you know, think about everything and how we do it, and maybe not cut services or programs, but just make them run more efficiently. I think that's going to be the biggest thing we're going to have to worry about, is as costs go up and there's only so many things we can cut and do, we really have to look into consolidating things. And, you know, many years on the city council, has, I think the last probably 20, has talked about consolidating school department and city departments, and actually looking and seeing what that looks like. And we need to start that process, I think, sooner than later, because we just can't continue to have these budgets rise at such a fast pace that people are getting sticker shock when they open up their tax bill every year.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, I hear, well, you know, Pittsfield's an aging city. Let's start thinking, what does that mean other than saying it? The other day I had to go out to Walmart, believe it or not, and there wasn't a handicap parking space to be had. Mm-hmm. And I think Pittsfield needs to look at that. The other thing, and this is really, I shouldn't bring it up because it's personal, but they got to get out and do something with these lights on North Street. I sat through three lights coming around the corner, heading north on North at Fenn and North. Three lights. And just coming home now from up in the North End, the Polish Princess and I, we sat through two lights coming back down at Linden and North. You got to get out. Summertime's here now. We have more downtown traffic.
Yeah, it's funny. Last year when we were doing Holmes Road, before the project started, I had asked the commissioner to look at the lights on Pittsfield Lennox Road coming back into town, past the country club and things there. And they were out there the week before the bridge closed. They were out there looking at the timing, and they adjusted the timing.
Yeah.
And it still wasn't enough. There was still backups. You know, we really need to, traffic does pick up a lot in the summer, which is a great thing. Like, people it's are great. Coming here. People are coming here. They're not just staying in South County or North County. They're actually venturing into Pittsfield. But yeah, it wouldn't hurt to look at those kind of things and readjust how we, because those can all be adjusted, right? We have the technology now to really change and adjust things and actually get data and use data to tell us what's going on and fix it that way. Now, will there still be traffic? Yeah, there'll still be traffic, and there'll still be backups. But yeah, if we have a way to collect data and actually change those things. So, you know, the commissioner is good about those things. Actually, he's kind of a data geek.
Yeah.
Well, he likes that kind of stuff. And so.
Yeah. Maybe that, I was out of school going, not going to him first, but yeah. I just, I looked at the cars. This is my survey. This is a non-scientific survey. Three of the cars ahead of me were not Massachusetts cars.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were New York, and one of them was Vermont.
Well, where the frustration I think people have is all of our employees experience the same things. So why does it take a counselor or somebody else to bring it up? So those are the frustrating things. And sometimes I always say this, people in City Hall, who, you know, they're all great people and they're all dedicated people, but they forget what it's like not to work in City Hall or get information because you work in City Hall. And we have to remember and think about how we get information, how we get information from people, and how we provide information to people, and think about it in a way where we're not somebody who works in the building,
right,
where the communication is coming from, because I think that's important. It's hard for people to do that everywhere. It's not just City Hall. It's every organization. It's thinking about the people that think you're giving enough information and you think you're doing that, but it's really understanding how other people do things and experience things so you can make it better. And I think getting information, making that better, is also a thing the city must work on. And I think it's as improved over time, and it is getting better, but we still need to continuously think about that.
And I also think too, Pittsfield, let's stop beating ourselves over the head. We have a lot of wonderful things here. Our parks, they're really coming back. I applaud what the council is doing. I grew up in Springside Park. It broke my heart to see what happened to it. All right, but it's coming back. I love the Common, what's happening there. We have beautiful lakes, beautiful. And when I hear people, goddamn Petrovia. Well, you know what? It isn't that. I've been all over the world. I can tell you, I can bring you to some places that you don't want to go back to. Trust me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I applaud the council. I really do. I think you, unlike councils in the way in the past and recent past, you're not at each other's throat. You seem to be working very collegially.
I think people have different visions and people have different ways of doing things or thinking about things. But that there's a conversation and there's a thought process, and people are listening instead of speaking or thinking about what they're going to say next. So I think it's important if people are actually listening to somebody else's point. And you may not disagree, you might not change it. You're only one vote,
right?
But you know, I'll give Counselor, you know, Counselor Warren is one of those people that we necessarily don't agree on things, right, all the time, but we listen to each other. Yeah. Right. And he's convinced me of changing a vote or thinking about things differently, but he's always cordial about it. You know, and I think I'm the same with him. And I think we have a good working relationship, and we enjoy each other.
Yeah.
But we disagree on often. Right. But it's never a argument. It's never, he never talks down to me. I don't talk down to him. We joke around. And we listen to each other, and sometimes we change each other's minds and sometimes we don't. And that's okay when we don't. So
when I started this program way back at another station, I made up my mind. I could disagree with you, but I'll never be disagreeable. Mm-hmm. And the other piece is I don't have to agree with your stance on anything, but you have a right. Because we are Pittsfield Community Radio. We are Pittsfield Community Television. If you're part of this community, you have a right to be on this show. But you also have a responsibility to live by the rules of the show, which no cursing, swearing, that kind of thing. And that's what I'm seeing in the – and actually the public's seeing that. I've heard people – I was just out the other day at one of the Dotties. And somebody was saying, I watched that council meeting the other night. I usually watch those. And I'm thinking, well, you ought to, because it's your money. What they said was pretty much what you just said. There was some disagreement, but nobody was nasty.
No. And everybody, you know, when the meeting ends, everybody talks and says goodnight to each other. When we come in, when we come into the meeting, everyone says hello. And, you know, everyone is very nice and cordial. And there's no, I don't think there's any ill will, even when we do have disagreements. And I think it's fine. And we all, I think everybody up there understands we're 11 different personalities, and we've experienced, we experienced the world 11 different ways. And and we talk to a lot of different people. We talk to a lot of the same people, but, you know, we're one vote, and you can speak your mind and try to change other people to agree with you, and others can do the same. And I think we work best when we're like that, and we take everybody into consideration, and we at least listen. I've been on councils before where people just, you know, they were just thinking about the next thing they were gonna say instead of listening to what was just said. You know, I love the counselors in the past. I haven't seen it happen this year yet, is where a question's asked and then a counselor asks the same question the next time around because they weren't listening. They were thinking about the next thing they were going to say instead of listening to the staff or another counselor. So this council is very good at that. Everybody's working together with the administration. And it's another thing. We don't, you know, the mayor and I disagreed about the school budget, and that's fine. And we move on, and we're on to the next working problem. And after that disagreement, and it's fine because we're all here. I think everyone's here for the betterment of Pittsfield and to actually move Pittsfield forward in a real way and address issues in a real way.
And I honestly believe that. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe I've known all of the people, or not all of them, but most of the people on the council for a long time. And I can't say that in past councils I was that enthralled with all the people and how they I guess what bothered me the most, because I'm a big supporter of city employees, is I know you are, because you know what they do, and I just didn't care, not this local new council, not this council. I want to make that perfectly clear. I didn't care for the way some of the people talked to the city employees.
Yeah, I think it's important to, even if you're frustrated or disagree with an employee, to be respectful and not just think about everybody else. And I think you can be frustrated and you can come out and speak in a tone that's still respectful, but you want to indicate you're not happy of how things are going. And I think some people just automatically spoke down to an employee because they didn't like them, or perceived not to like them, or they were perceived not to do their job, or, you know, things like that. I think it's most employees that I've experienced in City Hall and people that work for the city is, they actually care, and they do, you know, they actually care about what they do. And just because they disagree or see things differently, doesn't mean they don't care. And that's what I say to people. You know, I said it earlier, but I tell as many employees as I can, it's like, look at it from a resident's view. I understand, like, there's a certain employee I know, when I ask this person something, their first response is always, no, we always do it this way. All right. And then I remind this person, well, maybe we could do it this way or do it that way. And they always come around, right? They always do. But, you know, it's just, as an employee, you just got to think, like, maybe the way we've done it is not the best way we could do it. So
I've always done it that way.
Yeah.
I've always done it that way.
Sure, I'm sure you have. I didn't ask if you did. Yeah.
That's just not Pittsfield. That's the Commonwealth and the federal government. Right. I mean, wow, we've always done it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, okay. So why can't we think about a different way? Like, what's wrong with that? Maybe we do it that way for a reason. I understand that, but let's at least look at it and see if it's possible to do it in a different way.
What do I used to say to him? Yeah, and the phone used to be on the wall. It's in my pocket now. You know,
exactly.
Times have changed. Exactly.
Yep.
But you know, Earl, and honestly, as far as a group of city employees, I've been all over the world. I've worked with people in governments, big government, small government. you're right. You know, there's a guy, I was going to say a kid, but everybody's a kid to me when you're past mid-70s. He mows Herberg's lawn. I take that back. He manicures Herberg's playing fields. He's the nicest. And when I say manicure it, I probably golf courses aren't that well done for the kids to play on. And you know what? I'll bet you 10 people don't say thank you to him. But he's meticulous at what he does. And I always wave to him. And he probably thinks that crazy old fool just waved to me again. But by the way, do me a favor. Tell Ricardo and Vinny they can put the plows away. We don't need them until next year. But they bust their butt.
Yeah.
I was with some people the other day, and they had nice things to say about city employees. And that made me feel good because I, like you, know how hard some of those people work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when somebody sees like a city truck at the convenience store, someone grabbing a drink or something, well, what are these guys doing? Well, you don't know what they were doing the 3 hours before that, or they're going to do the next 5 hours after that.
Yeah.
You don't know if they're on an overtime. You don't know, like, you're getting one snippet of their very long day. So, if they are goofing off, like, yeah, we have to address that. But also just remember, they're thirsty and they're hungry at times too, right?
Let me give you a heads up. It's going to be in the 90s and 100s. You probably see a lot of them stopping to get a cold bottle of water when they're putting down hot blacktop.
Yeah. So it's just,
teenager putting down blacktop on hot days. And trust me, they don't call it hot blacktop for nothing.
Yeah. So it's just understanding, like, hey, you may see somebody at the convenience store, and you may see them, you know, parked on the side of the road, taking a break. It's, you know, the people take breaks, people get drinks, people eat lunch. It's okay. And
yeah. So. And by the way, so do you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mean you personally, but
people.
What do you see in you at 30,000 foot? Where do you think the city can probably do it more efficiently? Now, I have one and I'll throw it out to you and I get myself in trouble. I would look at getting out of civil service. It's a long, archaic process that costs the city a freaking fortune.
Yeah. So the police chief was talking about this. The state's working on some things now currently. And I think it's going to be addressed next month. They're talking about at the state level. And we'll see where that goes. But yeah, the city, there has been some preliminary talks about figuring out a maybe different way or adjusting civil service or the combination of civil service and not civil service. But I think we're in the very beginning stages of that. But I think you're right. I think we've talked about this many times.
Yes,
that I've been on this program. And I know some of the unions are very apprehensive about it. And then some people in the unions are very, yes, get us out of this. This is archaic. This is costing us money. It's just getting
people. We have unions now. We never had unions. We had associations. Mm-hmm. Now they have some of the best unions. Look at some of the contracts they've struck. If you depended on civil service for those, you'd still be making $6 an hour.
Correct. That's also true. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I think everyone's starting to come around and realize that maybe this civil service is not beneficial, and or maybe we're not getting the best people from that test, and maybe we are. I would leave that up to the police and fire chiefs, and to understand that. And from what I understand, I think they're both willing to look at different ways to do it. And because I think they both struggle at times to find staff and qualified staff and get them to stay, you know, so.
And it's when we say archaic, that's kind. That's kind. Because now what they have, the academies that the police have to go to, that the fire people have to go to, they have all these things, you know, and I've been around a long time, and there are a lot of states that they have what they call police officer standards and training, and many of them do it in community college. The kid pays to go. You don't pay. They pay and they get out, and then all they have to get past the physical, past the background, past the And it's something of the future. And I don't want to beat this horse to death, but it is a cost. I guarantee you'll see a huge cost saving because, you know, and I know, got to have so many firefighters on duty. You have to have so many police officers on duty. And if you don't, you need the overtime. And then I want some of these, not this group, but some of the past counselors call up and just ream the chiefs for something that's totally out of their control.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't think people realize the cost savings of onboarding an employee and having that employee leave very soon after.
Yeah.
That costs a lot of money to onboard employees and, you know, to do background checks. So in the police department, the background check process is long.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work involved and we have to pay somebody to do that. You know, it's our people that are doing it, but we're still paying somebody hours to create those background checks. And then if we hire somebody, the onboarding of that, sending them to school, training them. And then if they leave a year later, we're starting all that process over again. And that costs us all the money again. So we have to hire staff and keep them for long periods of time. Cause you have savings there too. But yeah, overtime is a problem in both departments and it's really just having enough people. I'm sure they would love not to work.
Yes.
So many, you know, people like overtime, but then mandatory overtime. Yeah, it gets
old. I've been on mandatory overtime and trust me, you got your family and all of a sudden you're working mandatory overtime and you're exhausted. No.
Yep. And people forget that. Like, you know, as much as some people may want overtime here and there, and it's a great little addition, but the mandatory overtime, you know, you're missing time from your family. You're missing time to recharge and rest. And, you know, this is still a job and you do it for a reason, for your family and for the community. And if you can't appreciate those things, you forget why you do it. And so we've got to make sure everybody has enough time to recharge their batteries and spend time with their families. So hopefully we can address a lot of those issues coming soon.
Before we go, I do want to tell you, Earl is got a he's really got a big job at Edith Wharton. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, if you want to go to a place and just decompress, go down, really.
Yeah, the grounds are open 7 days a week, dusk to dawn for free. And so just come down. We consider this an open park. That's how we manage it. The only time we close on Saturdays when a wedding is actually happening. But yeah, dusk to dawn pretty much every day. And a lot of places to picnic, hang out, enjoy the gardens. And we have a cafe on the terrace.
Very nice. Cafe.
Lunch, grab a drink. And if you want to come inside for a tour, it's like $20. So, and we hold a lot of events. Last Thursday, we held a free jazz event. It was 500 people here. We have lectures. I mean, we are doing programming almost 7 days a week too. We're pretty busy this time of year.
And I will tell you, bring a blanket or if you want a chair, one of those, you know, sack chairs, or whatever, but just go with a book, throw it up. Sit on the blanket, sit in your chair, shut your damn phone off, and just enjoy the surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Earl, you keep the grounds absolutely spectacular. They're beautiful. And I love to be there because that's what I do. I decompress.
Yeah, we spray the grounds with a natural repellent for ticks and mosquitoes. It's basically a bunch of oils.
Yeah,
and cedar and, you know, things like that to keep bugs down and ticks away as much as possible so people can enjoy their time here. And pretty peaceful place. It's the, you know, you can pull up a piece of grass anywhere you want and just enjoy time. We have families that come that will just play
and
games.
Kids run. And you know what's nice about watching kids run? Batteries not included.
Yep. And then we have the sculptures are up now. There's a sculpture show going on and check out the sculptures and there's a lot going on around.
You know how to get a hold of me. Have your press guy send me the stuff and I'll announce it like I'm going to do right here.
Okay.
All right. Because I can't keep up with all of it without
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forget where I parked the car. So, Earl, I'm going to, if you have to run, thank you. I've just got a couple of announcements, and thank you very much. Thank you for your service to the city.
Thank you.
And please, you've got a beautiful family. Give them my best.
I will. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right, folks, a couple of announcements. Strike out cancer. An all-day baseball game and women's softball Saturday, June 29th, Clapp Park, 9 a.m. Cost $10. You get a T-shirt. If you want to know more, you can call Joe DeCicco, 518-390-2512, and he can fill you in. This coming weekend, there we go. I'll get it out straight. There's a lot going on. Tanglewood, just a lot of things going on. Get outside. Be careful of the heat. And I'll say it one more time. Watch out for the elderly. Watch out for the animals. Heat is supposed to be awful. Well, just remember that, okay? And to all of my friends, this is my flag. I'm very proud of it. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a veteran. And I'm proud of my other fellow veterans. God bless. Take care of each other. And remember, today, do something nice for somebody. Make their day. Be a light, maybe in a dark spot in their life. Be that new light. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Be well. Take care. Bye.